This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday. Let me give you a virtual high five. You made it. You have finished the week. It's weekend time, and we are going to have a good time tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You had questions about Kristi Noem. Why can't we do Bondi next? Someone wants to know. Should we be concerned about Oklahoma now that we're losing one of the senators? You have questions about Iran. Somebody's involved in politics and no one's helping, and she's tired and frustrated. What would have happened if I'd have won in Congress? Why do I talk the way I do about redheads? All that and so much more tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to questions, though, I can't help it. I have to play a little Gavin Newsom thing. Now, I should tell you, I don't understand the mind of a Democrat voter. I know in general how communists think and why they think that way, but when it comes to picking a politician, which politician they're going to choose in a primary, I don't understand Democrat voters because I'm not one. I can't relate. Gavin Newsom right now, he is thought to be the leader, kind of the leader. If you had asked most people, politically involved people like you and me, you know, you and I, we pay attention. If you'd asked us 5-6 months ago who the Democrat nominee is going to be, hey, you got to put $5 on one of them, you probably would pick Newsom. And maybe you'd still do that today. I probably would still do that today. But I don't know. Here's what I do know, though, about politics. In general, politicians don't like to take a hard stance on a lot of things because they don't want to make enemies. If you say, I like regular Cheetos way more than I like Flamin' Hot Cheetos, that's a fairly innocuous statement, but there may be a Flamin' Hot Cheetos freak out there who gets offended and votes for the other guy because you picked the wrong Cheeto. Voters are weird. So politicians don't like to take hard stances on things. However, getting people motivated to vote for you and getting people motivated to get others to vote for you, it can only be done by taking hard stances on some things. You don't have to take a hard stance on everything, but look, Donald Trump, for example. I live in red Texas. If you live in red America, I know you experience this too, because whenever I visit a red state, I see the same thing. Donald Trump inspires people. You can drive through red Texas or Montana or any other red place, and you'll see homemade Trump signs. In Texas, if you're out in the countryside, you'll see somebody just went and spray painted Trump in 100-foot long lettering somewhere. They'll put up billboards. Someone pays for billboards that say, God bless Trump. He's not even running again. That shows you he inspires people to vote. And Donald Trump takes hard stances on things. Just as I'm just using him as an example. This is not about Trump's going to come back to Newsom. Donald Trump will get up at a rally when he's running for president, and he'll do a rally a day, and at every single one of them, mass deportations, mass deportations, mass deportations, giving people, oh, okay, that inspires me. I want that. He gives you something to motivate you. Right? Here, I'm going to do this, something to motivate you. Gavin Newsom right now is clearly running for president. He's doing some podcast circuit where he's going on 1,000 different shows. But the presidential run is until 2028. So right now would be a good time to start laying the groundwork of vote for me and I'll give you blank, whatever that would be. It would be some disgusting Democrat priority, but vote for me and I'll give you a free this, because you know it's going to be giving away a free something, which of course they'll steal from someone else, but that's what Democrats do. But he's not going that route. I'm going to find this fascinating to watch. I don't know if you will, but Gavin Newsom so far is running for president, standing for nothing and talking about nothing and finding new and inventive ways to say nothing. And I am going to be fascinated to see if can this get you the nomination, if you're a Democrat, can you win? I want you to listen to something. It's so amazing that at some point in time, the dude who's doing the interviewing, he just flat out says, you know how on occasion someone will say something dumb on the show and I'll just say, what? Kind of that, what did you just say? That doesn't make any sense. This dude actually drops one of those on Newsom and he's on Newsom's side. Listen to this. Can this win in Democrat politics?
What is your defined political project? Like what throughout your career right now? Like what is the thing you want to accomplish like politically?
I don't have like a brand. I don't have a tag. Make America great, or I don't the great society, or something like Medicare for all the billionaires. But but for me, no. It's just standing up for ideals, striking out against injustice. It defines my why in every way, shape, form. Stand up for ideals, strike out against injustice. I'm a Sarge Shriver Democrat. I'm into that whole 60s, the vernacular of the 60s, solving for ignorance and poverty and disease and the spirit of the 60s and the spirit of King and, and how the nonviolent movement and Gandhi and, Havel and, Mandela, that moral authority, that whole space. That's the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And that's that, so that's me. That's my dad. So that's my mom, that's the book, and that's my why. And so standing up for ideals is...
The guy's about to interrupt him, or at least ask a follow-up question. Yeah, but what are you going to do? I'll let him go.
What gay merge? It was about work I'm doing right now, to sort of push back, we can lose this country. And right. Just feeling like I have to be held to account and strike out against the injustices of the day.
So if you had to define it, like... Vote
I need
for
your
me
help to
and you get
well, you tell
X.
me. You're better at this. Tell
I don't
me.
Know. I don't know who you what
I just gave you my why, but how do you translate
saying,
that into human?
What? So if you say like make an appeal to a voter, right? Say if you vote for me, you get X.
Yeah.
Like what in a kind of concise, tangible sense, talking to a regular guy.
Yeah, no,
what,
no.
What is that?
I've struggled with being able to communicate. I told you what my why is and why I'm here, and I mean that. And that's ingrained in every aspect of my life.
It's just Gandhi, man, in the zeitgeist, and Dr. King, I can't help it. I'm going to be watching this with morbid fascination. And of course, you always have that little bit of fear in the back of your mind of, oh my sweet mercy, this guy might end up being president of the United States of America.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Please don't let that happen. But this is going to be a fascinating run for president. We think we know who the Republican nominee is going to be already. And that's very rare this far out. I'm not saying we know, because anything can happen. But everyone kind of assumes it's probably going to be J.D. Vance at this point in time, especially with Marco Rubio and J.D. being best buddies. And Rubio already came out and said, well, I'm not running if he runs, so you don't have to worry about Rubio stepping in. Look, anyway, we think we know. We have a pretty good idea that it would probably be J.D. Vance. So our real primary that we're going to be focusing on is the Democrat primary. Is this what Democrat voters want? Gandhi and Zeitgeist and King? And there's no way.
What is your defined political project? Like what throughout your career
and
like right now? Like what is the thing you want to like You want to accomplish, like, politically?
I don't have, like, a brand. I don't have a tag, Make America Great, or, I don't, you know, the Great Society, or, you know, something like Medicare for All the Billionaires. But I, you know, but for me, no, it's just standing up for ideals, striking out against injustice. It defines my why in every way, shape, form. Stand up for ideals, strike out against injustice. I'm a Sarge Shriver Democrat. I'm into that whole 60s, the vernacular of the 60s, solving for ignorance and poverty and disease, and the spirit of the 60s, and the spirit of King, and, you know, and how the nonviolent movement, and Gandhi, and, you know, Havel, and, you know, Mandela. That
I'm still cracking up. He drops a Gandhi and a Mandela. I missed that the first time.
That moral authority, not for that whole space. That's the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And that's that, so that's me. That's my dad. So that's my mom. That's the book. And that's my why. And so standing up for ideals is what Gay Merged. It was about work I'm doing right now to sort of push back. You know, we can lose this country. And just feeling like I have to be held to account and strike out against the injustices of the day.
So if you had to define it, like, vote
I need
for
your
me
help to define.
And you get
Will you tell
X.
me? You're better at this. Tell
I don't
me.
Know. I don't know who you. What
I
your
just gave you
is.
My why, but how do you translate saying, that into human?
What? So if you say like,
that's my favorite part. What?
Anyway, what are you doing about pain? Are you in physical pain after listening to Gavin Newsom, or is it just the aches and pains of your life? Maybe your knee bugs you all the time. Maybe it's a foot. That sucks. I've had a stress fracture. Remember when I had a stress fracture? That sucks. Foot problems suck. What are you doing about it? You ignoring it? You taking pills for it? Frying out your kidneys? You know Relief Factor is there, right? There is a supplement, a natural supplement, 100% drug-free, a natural supplement that you can take every day that will build up in your system over time and take your pain away. You can try it for 3 weeks. $19.95, 3 weeks of it. You like it, order more. If it doesn't work, don't. Why not take a chance on it? ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. All right, we will move on. People have known Pam Bondi questions, all kinds of stuff. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So let's tackle these because we've only got 3 hours, less than 3 hours left. And then I'm leaving you forever. No, I'm kidding. I'll be back next week. Hey, Jesse. Bronco, he says. If Trump can Noam so easy and replace in no time, why not Cam Bondi now and replace her before she causes more damage? Okay, so let me give you a little bit of inside baseball. Right? A little bit of inside baseball. First, we have not really replaced Kristi Noam yet. I know Mark Wayne Mullen, senator from Oklahoma, Trump's putting him in place, but keep in mind, he is going to have to go through a Senate confirmation process to make it permanent. We have a temporary guy there. He still has to get confirmed by the Senate. Part of the reason Mark Wayne Mullen was probably a very smart, savvy political pick is he's a senator. Remember how Marco Rubio just breezed right through the nomination process? All these senators, they like to vote for each other when they get nominated for something. Mark Wayne Mullen, being a senator, will probably, I mean, there'll be Democrats who vote against him, but he'll probably, his confirmation is not in doubt because he's a senator, right? So that's that. Now, that's not the inside baseball part. Here's an inside baseball part for you. And I am not going to tell you where I got it, because I can't. But here's a little inside baseball for you. Donald Trump is not that happy with Pam Bondi. He's kind of hinted at that publicly, and then he gets asked about it, and he comes out and he says, oh, Pam's great, I love her, but I'm telling you, this is me telling you not what I think, what I know. he is not that happy with Pam Bondi. So back to your question. If you can just fire Noam, why not just fire Bondi? Do you remember what happened to Donald Trump's AG picks, plural? His first one, his first choice was Matt Gaetz. That got blasted down by the United States Senate. Again, has to be confirmed by the United States Senate. He also really liked Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton is the obviously he's the guy running against John Cornyn in the Texas primary. We're not going to get into that right now, but he's the Attorney General of Texas. Donald Trump has been a fan. Ken Paxton's a fan back. Now, maybe not as much right now. I don't know, but they've gotten along. Donald Trump flirted with the idea of Ken Paxton. One of those things where you kind of throw his name out there and see where it lands. Donald Trump heard back that, yeah, we're probably not going to be able to confirm him. Ken Paxton takes a hard stance on a lot of issues that make communists very angry. And so he had to move on from Ken Paxton. He got to Pam Bondi. This is a long way of me saying to you, it's easy to fire someone if you're Donald Trump. It's easy to can the DHS secretary. It's easy to can the AG or the FBI director, CIA director. You can call any one of these people. You are the president. They're under you. You can call any one of them and say, you are fired. Get out. Getting someone else into that position is always a critical consideration. This should no way be interpreted as a defense of Pam Bondi. As you well know, you listen to the show, I've been very disappointed with the lack of action so far. However, it's one thing to be displeased with the one you currently have. It's another thing entirely to be able to replace them with someone else. I've told you before. Look, how much does Jewish producer Chris weigh the show down? Hold on, Chris. I'm just making a point. You know that the show is good, could be great, if it wasn't for Chris. I could fire Chris. Lord knows I've considered it. But how do I find a replacement for Chris? I can't answer that question. The exact same thing happens in the federal government when you need the United States Senate to approve your picks. Now, remember, every pick doesn't have to go through the Senate nomination process. There are some lower picks and some other things where you don't need that. But the head of DHS does, and the attorney general does. So when we scream, fire Bondi, I get it. I've screamed it myself. I get it. I sympathize. I support you. I agree. The firing is easy. The hiring is difficult. It's similar to what we've been talking about when it comes to Iran. Right now, I hate to say it's easy. People are losing their lives. Americans are losing their lives. But bombing the living crap out of Iran is easy for us. Blowing their navy out of the water is easy for us. Dropping precision munitions on the heads of the Ayatollah, that's easy for us. The breaking things part is easy. This is the fun part. The making things part is significantly more difficult. That's why the Trump administration, they're still trying to say this.
President Trump said overnight that his top choices to now run with Iran were killed in strikes. Does the United States have a firm plan for how they intend to handle this power vacuum in Iran to ensure that an IRG hardliner does not take power?
So two things, and two things can be true. Number one is our mission and our focus is the destruction of their ballistic missile capabilities and their ability to manufacture them, as well as the threat posed by their Navy to global shipping. That's our objective. That said, we would not mind, we would not be heartbroken, and we hope that the Iranian people can overthrow this government and establish a new future for that country.
Regime change is difficult. The bombing's easy. Putting someone in new is hard. We'll move on. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, Jewish producer Chris just complained about KISS. because we came back with that Kiss song, and he said Kiss sucks. I think you're not appreciating Kiss. And here's what I mean by that, Chris. Is Kiss Led Zeppelin? Pink Floyd? Of course not. Of course not. It's just fun. Not everything has to be music magic, Chris. It's just fun. I've never been to a Kiss concert, but it looks like a good time. It's just a good time. It's okay to have fun. You know that, Chris. What? Chris said they're all spectacle. The music is awful. So, professional wrestling is all spectacle. Obviously, it's not real. It's all spectacle. It's insanely popular. Everybody watching professional wrestling, for the most part, except for the little kids, for the most part, everyone understands it's not real. They're not really hitting each other. It's not everyone gets that for the most part. And yet, for my entire life, 44 years, I was a huge fan when I was a kid too. I don't watch it anymore now, but when I was a kid, I was a huge fan. For my entire life, it has been popular. It has been wonderful. What's wrong with a little spectacle? Everything doesn't have to be pure and wonderful. We can just have fun every now and then, Chris. What? What? Chris said if he wants wants a spectacle, he'll watch a movie. You don't see how that's the same thing? What do you think music is, buddy? It's just supposed to make your day. You know what? This is beautiful music.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito, hey, I like Fritos corn chips, I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips, I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Beautiful music, Chris. Jesse, I'm not upset that Noam is being replaced, and honestly, I'm not that upset that Mullen won't be in the Senate anymore. He's been too squishy on some issues. However, I don't have faith in Oklahoma to replace him with anyone better, especially if that eunuch of a governor gets to appoint someone. The SAVE Act is officially dead now. Can you fill us in on that? Okay, so one, Oklahoma's governor, Kevin Stitt, is a complete useless rhino turd. Do not expect any kind of hardcore anti-communist to be appointed as the next United States Senator of Oklahoma. That will have to be done by the red state primary voters in Oklahoma. So that's one. Two, let's talk about this SAVE Act stuff. Because Donald Trump came out earlier today. He had a conversation with Dana Bash of CNN. This was this morning. And Dana Bash asked Donald Trump about, hey, are you going to endorse John Cornyn in the Texas Senate primary? She asked him. Everyone's asking him about it right now. And Donald Trump's answer was insanely revealing. Donald Trump's answer was, we need to get the SAVE Act passed. Now, people are taking that as a shot at John Cornyn, or kind of a prodding of John Cornyn. Hey, John Cornyn, you want the SAVE Act passed, or you want my endorsement? Better pass my SAVE Act. People are interpreting that the wrong way. That comment was not made for John Cornyn. That comment was aimed at John Thune, Senate Majority Leader John Thune. You know something? And here's something. It's not exactly inside baseball because there's been reporting on it, but let me go ahead and divulge this to you, something else I know, but there's been plenty of reporting on it. John Thune has been all over Donald Trump like white on rice, trying to get Donald Trump to endorse John Cornyn. He's been begging him. He's been walking around in Trump's back pocket. Please endorse Cornyn. Please endorse Cornyn. Please endorse Cornyn. Donald Trump is obviously telling John Thune, he's basically doing it publicly, and I bet he said it privately by now, you want me to back Cornyn? I want the SAVE Act. Go get me my votes. John Cornyn cannot get the SAVE Act passed. He doesn't have that kind of influence. He's already a yes on the SAVE Act. The holdups on the SAVE Act are Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, John Curtis of Utah, and Mitch McConnell. Now, I'll set aside a couple of those for a moment. But you know what? Actually, no, I won't. I'll lump two of them together. Do you know why Lisa Murkowski, again, this gets into political weeds, but now you're finding out these things matter a lot in the end. You know why Lisa Murkowski is still a senator in Alaska? Because she was probably going to lose a Republican primary. Mitch McConnell, when he was running the Senate, Mitch McConnell took a boatload of money, a Brinks truck of GOP money, and dumped it onto Lisa Murkowski so she could keep her seat in the United States Senate like the dirty swamp rat she is. Now, let's do something else. Mitch McConnell is old. His health is failing. He's retiring. Mitch McConnell despises Donald Trump, absolutely despises on him. If Donald Trump was on fire and Mitch McConnell had a glass of water, he would drink it. And Trump feels the exact same way about Mitch McConnell. They are not only enemies, they are public enemies. Mitch McConnell is retiring. He doesn't need the GOP voters again. Mitch McConnell has nothing to lose. Mitch McConnell, he is a no on the SAVE Act specifically because Donald Trump wants the SAVE Act. Now, if you're John Thune and you're trying to deliver the SAVE Act for Trump so Trump will back Cornyn, how are you going to get that out of Mitch McConnell? You don't have anything to give him. He's obviously old and dying. He's rich. You can't bribe him. He's not running for re-election. There's nothing there. You can't threaten him with anything. Mitch McConnell's wired in. If you're John Thune, you have to deliver Mitch McConnell's vote, and you can't. And Lisa Murkowski owes her entire career to Mitch McConnell. You have to deliver Lisa Murkowski's vote, and you can't. Now, John Curtis may be another story, that loser in Utah. I cannot believe he's a senator from Utah. Maybe Thune can whip John Curtis into it. Maybe he can whip Susan Collins into it. She's got a tough re-election campaign. She needs something right now. Hey, Susan, how about $50 million for your Senate campaign? Sound good? We need your backing on the SAVE Act. Maybe you can get those two. I could be wrong. I pray I am, but I don't think I am. John Thune cannot deliver the votes to get the SAVE Act passed. Donald Trump is an extremely transactional man. Everyone knows that about him. His fans know it. His enemies know it. Everyone knows that about him. When Donald Trump is asked about John Cornyn, he answers the question with, "I'd love the SAVE Act passed." That was meant for John Thune. That landed on the desk of John Thune, and I just told you why. Trump is saying to him, "You want me involved? I'll get involved. What are you going to give me?" And I don't think John Thune can hold up his end of the bargain. There you go. We'll move on. Talk about other stuff. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Friday. Let us continue to chop away. Hey, Jesse, is the U.S. going to be Iran's defense for a while? If we destroy their military, we essentially leave them defenseless. Other nations could use this as an opportunity to attack Iran, correct? Kind of correct. Let me explain. The world right now is watching United States military strength, and they're marveling at it. All it would take, let's say, and we should hope and pray for this, that we get a regime in power in Iran that is friendly to our interests and that the people accept. That's what has to happen. If that happens, that's a big if, but if that happens, the United States of America would only have to tell the rest of the world, "Yeah, you better keep your hands off." We wouldn't even necessarily have to have a massive troop presence there after everyone just watched what we did. All we would have to do would be to say, yeah, don't lay a finger on Iran or you're all going to die. And that message would get home. So in that way, yes, that's the good part of it. When you're showing off your military might the way we're showing off our military might right now, it's not just your friends who are watching. It's not just you and me and your grandpa on Facebook who's watching and cheering. China's watching. Russia's watching. And they're thinking to themselves, oh my gosh. That's a good thing. Showing your enemies you can curb stomp them is a very good thing, or at least making them afraid is a very good thing. There's another part that's a problem, or I should say could be a problem, a big problem. It's an uncomfortable topic, but we can go ahead and have a talk about it. Gas prices are the highest right now that they've been since 2024. Now, pause for a second. I'm going to save you the trouble of hitting send on that angry email you're about to send me. Because I know you're about to say, I don't care, it's a tiny blip, we got to support the war. Stop. Don't do that. This is not about you, and it is not about me. I know you're solid. I'm not worried about you. Normie voters, you know, these people who drive us insane, they're not involved politically. These people, they'll vote for Obama, and then they'll vote for Trump, and then they'll vote for Biden, we'll vote for Trump again. And these are the people who decide elections, normie voters. They can be very difficult to understand. How could you do that? People like us, people like you and me, find them difficult to understand. But there is one political issue that is pretty universal with them: gas prices. And United States presidents, Republican and Democrat, have talked about this privately and publicly. They've talked about the fact that gas prices decide their popularity. Now, that's crazy. Obviously, there are more important things in life, aren't there, than gas prices. I got it. I don't need your email. I don't need your lecture. You're not talking to me. You're talking to normies. We have an election coming up in November. If gas prices are high in November, we are going to get massacred in the midterms like you can't possibly imagine. Massacred. And it won't matter how loudly you scream at those normies about, well, Iran, it was a we have to do this, we had to, none of that will matter. And you might be right. You might be right. This is not an argument against you or how you feel. You might be right. They're not going to give a crap. If voters are paying $4-$5 a gallon national average on gas prices in November, we are going to get massacred like the Ayatollah and all of his generals in the midterm elections. We are. That is a fact. Now, that doesn't mean gas prices are going to be high in November. Lord willing, we get this thing wrapped up, gas prices come back down, and we'll be okay. So there's nothing to panic about yet. This, however, is a long-term view that is 100% correct. If prices are high today, if the election were held today, it would be a bloodbath. It'd be you and me sitting here just crying. We'd just get on the air and it'd just be 3 hours of us crying with all the seats we lost in the House and what the future looks like. I'm not saying that's going to happen. They keep saying that, hey, we're going to get in, we're going
to
get out.
We have the strongest and most powerful by far military in the world, and we will easily prevail. We're already substantially ahead of our time projections, but whatever the time is, it's okay. Whatever it takes, we will always, and we have right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks, but we have capability to go far longer than that.
Okay. We better not go far longer than that. And that's my concern. It's not that we're not going to be able to destroy them militarily. We've already basically wiped them out militarily. That's not going to take months and months and months and months and months. As we've discussed, getting a new regime in place might take months and months and months and months. But we don't know right now. Let's also remember this is a Muslim country. Shia and Sunni Muslims, for people who've never spent any time in the Middle East, they don't necessarily grasp this or just read up on it. Some people don't get how much Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims hate each other. Hate. It's a deep, deep hatred. They're always killing each other over there. Are we going to run into that kind of a problem? What if the government that wants to take over, what if they're completely secular, not necessarily religious people at all? Is that going to be okay with the people? The problem is going to be getting someone solid in power so we can walk away. And we have to do that in time that the oil is a-flowing and the gas prices come back down, because $90 a barrel for oil means we get crushed at the midterms. All right? I'm not worried about you, but normies, whew, they're gone. If gas prices are $4 or $5 a gallon, they are gone. They're not going to be able to afford life. They are going to blame Trump, and they're gone. And they're not going to hear, they're not going to give a rat crap about Iran if they're paying $4 or $5 a gallon. They simply won't. All right. Somebody is getting disheartened. She's working hard, and no one else in her area is. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.